Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Right Owl Politics. My name is Ariana. Wow, we are going through a very topsy-turvy time in the world. Somebody give 2020 a piece of candy. What's going on? First, Mr. Floyd is unjustly killed by that police officer. Everybody has seen the video, heartbreaking images, and now these riots that are taking place across America. I want to make this clear. My heart goes out to Mr. Floyd's family and the peaceful protesters that are bringing attention to police brutality and the injustices that exist in our criminal system. But the rioters, the bullies, the thugs that are terrorizing the cities across America, that's unacceptable. And everybody should agree that that needs to stop yesterday. All these governors across the country that are not stepping up and that are not doing what they need to do to end these riots are failing their communities. So for today's bonus episode, we had planned talking with members of Generation Z. As you know, Generation Z are teenagers right now, young people in America, and we wanted to know how they were dealing with COVID-19. And when these interviews took place, we also asked them how they felt about the social unrest that was going on across the country. So today's episode, we're going to have those interviews on and hopefully get some levity, get something positive going, see what the new generation thinks about this issue and how to solve it. Because these are issues that are not going away anytime soon. And people, please, let's stay calm. You know, when they say the young will inherit the earth, that's a fact. And I am recording this episode introduction in the future after I recorded these interviews with these two young people we're going to have on the show today. And I want to be very clear. Generation Z, the generation born after the mid-1990s, the challenges they're going to face are extraordinary. Skyrocketing national debt, pandemics, failing economy, and now social unrest. I honestly can't even begin to fathom. And I'm speaking as a member of millennial generation. We went through our own set of challenges. And growing up in this environment, how polarized it is, how racially charged it is, it's stressful. And this show was going to have a totally different tone. I wanted to talk to these kids about COVID-19 and their hopes for the future. But even as I was interviewing them and asking them, what are they going to do about COVID and what are their prospects for the future? How do they feel about the future? They were concerned about this social unrest that's going around the country. They started volunteering opinions about this. Even as I was talking to them before the interviews, this was something that's coming up. This is on the forefront of their minds. They're worried about this. And we as adults, as the older people in their lives, we need to come and give them some context and also explain to them the complexity of this issue, but also hear them because they have ideas. They have a perspective on this. We have a responsibility to listen to them. So without further ado, let's jump right in. Our first guest from Generation Z is Alexandra. Alexandra is a 17-year-old girl from South Florida. She loves spending time with family and friends, and her favorite pastime is going to the beach to relax and have fun under the sun. Alexandra, welcome to the show. Hi, Alexandra. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So just so that our listeners know, you live in South Florida, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And how old are you?
17.
Wow, 17. Have you lived in Miami your whole life?
Yep.
All right. Tell your audience a little bit about maybe your mom and dad.
Well, my mom is Cuban and my dad is from Ecuador. And I've been living with my mom. I see my dad every once in a while. I talk to him every day. And my grandparents pretty much raise me while my mom was working and getting her degree and stuff.
You and I are related.
Yep, we are.
Yes. yes, people, I did change her diapers. That was
She did. She's well, still traumatized.
I'm happy to have you on the show. Thank you. Wanted to talk to you about a few issues, primarily the coronavirus and the situation with that, but also I need to ask you also, what's your opinion, what's going on with these protests nationwide concerning Mr. Floyd? These are very interesting times we're living in, and I feel like we don't have enough young people coming out and giving us their opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's go back to March before the lockdown. Tell me what your life was like then.
Well, in March, it was just a normal day. I was a junior with my friends, going to school, having breakfast in the morning before class started, like the usual like teenager thing. And obviously, we knew what the coronavirus was, but we didn't really, not that we didn't care, it's just that we weren't like, we didn't think that what happened was gonna happen, so we didn't pay that much attention to it. Our only thing was like, we can't wait for spring break to like go out to the beach and do all the stuff that like we were supposed to do during spring break.
And when did it start to become real that something was happening?
When the school started giving us surveys and asking us what we thought about virtual learning, when they started giving like surveys to take home, and we were like, okay, now this might be a thing.
What was your mom's reaction to those surveys? Was she worried about it?
She was worried, but all that she like really cared about was like how I was gonna finish the year.
Yeah. And at that point, what are your thoughts? Is it, oh, cool, I'm going home, I'm gonna do learning at home? Or is it, oh no, this is important, this is something big is happening here?
Well, I was scared when, well, not that I was scared, but I started to like worry a little bit when the superintendent started coming out and saying, yeah, we're going to close schools. But at that time, it was just going to be for a week. So I was like, oh, okay, well, 2 weeks of spring break. Cool. Like, great. But then they extended it more and more and more until they just canceled the rest of the year.
What were your friends thinking? I mean, did you all have the same reaction? Or
yeah, we all had like sort of the same reaction, but some of my friends are seniors, so they didn't get to have their prom, their graduation trip, their graduation. That it's still like very complicated right now, so I felt mostly bad for them than for me, because I still have another year left, but this was gonna be their last year. And then I have friends that are going to the Army or they're going to the Marines, so they can't really come back whenever they want. It's a lot complicated for them.
So the superintendent comes out, says we're going to move into this virtual learning situation. How was that first day?
Well, it wasn't that hard. It was just okay, so here's the work for the week, do it, turn it in Friday. So I'm like, oh, okay, it's not that bad. But then they were like, okay, so now you have to do this a couple of days a week, or you have to sign in every day and remember to sign in, if not your work won't get graded. So it did get a little bit annoying, especially like hard classes like chemistry or math, where you actually need a teacher there to explain it, not just a worksheet and okay, figure it out.
How much expectation was there from the school as far as your parents stepping in and picking up some of the weight as far as teaching you the material?
Well, I pretty much just sat in front of a computer and did what I knew. And if I didn't know, I'd be like, hey, do you know, like I'll text a friend and be like, hey, do you know how to do this? Or do you kind of know what the answer is? Or I'll just go on YouTube. So I kind of had that. But the teachers were aware that they couldn't be like jerks about it, because at the end of the day, they weren't there with us.
How about socially? Like, did you miss being in a classroom?
I did, because the whole fun part about going to school is that like all your friends are there, the people that you sit next to, that you talk to, that you see in the hallway, or like it was hard, because it was like, damn, these are probably going to be the last time that I see these people, that I see that guy that I used to have a crush on, I might never see him again, or my friends I'm probably not going to be able to talk to or see for a while. Like, yeah, it sucked.
Was there any moment where you were like, I really hope this, if it goes away soon?
Yeah, in the beginning I was like, I'm just dying for them to be like, okay, quarantine's over, let's all go back to normal, even though I knew it wasn't going to happen. But I I was hoping that it was going to end a lot sooner than it did.
How did it affect your family? Did you see your parents having to stay home from work? What was the impact?
Well, my mom had to keep working because she works in the healthcare. My grandma stopped working because of an injury, and my grandpa had to stop working, but my uncle still kept working because he's on the police force.
Okay, well, thank you for his service, definitely.
Yeah.
Especially now. The days started going by, virtual learning became, you know, a thing. That was what you were doing to get your education. How did that start impacting you as far as how your mood? Were you okay? Were you a bit feeling isolated? Like, what was in your head? Take us in there.
I mean, I was okay. I was bored and I did feel kind of lonely because I was like, all I have are like not that I don't like being with my family, but there's moments I'm like, okay, I just want to be with my friends and talk crap and just laugh and just be with my friends, not be stuck in my room trying to figure out an equation for chemistry or for math.
So has the superintendent said anything about next year?
As of now, not that I'm aware of. I'm pretty sure. I mean, this is just me thinking. I don't really think that we're going to go back to school in August. Maybe like in November, hopefully. But
how do you feel about that?
I mean, I hope that we can go back to school because, like, I mean, it'll be my senior year. I would want to be able to at least do some of the things that I've been wanting to do since I was, like, in fifth grade. Yeah, but I don't know. Hopefully. If it's safe, I have no problem. But if it's going to be a pain that we have to be 6 feet apart or... I mean, I've been hearing things saying like, oh, some kids are going to be going to class in the morning and then some in the afternoon, but you have to be wearing masks or the desks have to be 6 feet apart. And if that's how it's going to be, I'd rather just stay home and do virtual learning because that's going to be way too complicated, especially in a school like mine that it's pretty big. There's a lot of kids there.
Sure. And if the superintendent were to come out and say, hey, we're going to do the next school year virtually, what would be your reaction?
I mean, I would rather do that than have to be in school every day with a mask and not have the experience that I would have rather wanted than how it would be. I would rather just do virtual if that was the case.
Let me ask you this, and how has this impacted at all your plans post high school? I mean, what you want to do or how you want to do it?
I mean, hopefully by then things are a little bit back to normal, but not really. I'm still planning on going to Dade for the 2 years at least, and then transferring over to whatever university I choose.
Okay. And do you think now more than ever, choosing to go to your local college and then just transferring is probably a better choice because of the uncertainty?
Yeah. I mean, since the beginning, I've always wanted that. At first, I was like, well, I would like to go somewhere, but I would rather just go to a community college, get my AA there. Hopefully, I can go to Miami-Dade Honors. Then I can just transfer over to whichever university I want. And then I'll focus on my major there rather than to plan it from now.
And how do you think this is going to affect you, you know, as you start thinking about dating? And do you think this situation is going to have an impact on that as far as how comfortable you're going to be feeling to putting yourself out there?
I mean, possibly, but I've never really been in a rush to date. But I know I'm getting older. That's something I'm going to have to think about eventually. But yeah, it's going to be different. I'm pretty sure everything is going to be different for a while, at least.
How do you think the government has responded? Do you like what they've done? Do you think they could have done more? What's your opinion?
In my opinion, I thought, like in the beginning, I thought they were blowing it way out of proportion. But when you saw all the numbers going up and how people were acting towards each other, like in a supermarket. Like I remember I walked in with my grandfather once and he sneezed and everyone just started like backing away and walking away. It was like, okay, so they're actually scared. So this is serious.
How do you feel about going back to normal? I mean, do you feel comfortable like having a big family gathering again? Do you think that people are ready for that?
Yes, but at the same time, like be smart. Like if you're sick, don't come. if you feel weird about it, like, don't come. But if it's like immediate family, I'm totally okay with it, because I would love to see like everyone again without it being like a problem or something to be afraid of.
Sure. And what do you want to study?
I want to go into nursing, actually.
Oh, wow. And did you want to go into nursing before COVID?
No, it was always something in the back of my mind, but I was like nursing, like, really, like, is that really what I want? I've always wanted to be in like the psychology or like the forensic field, but yeah, like, I guess because of this and also because of my grandfather when he passed away of cancer, I was like, wow, I kind of want to be something like in the med and like help people. Okay. Like, I've always wanted to help people. That was always my thing. I want to help people no matter what I do. But yeah, I think the pandemic kind of pushed that a little bit more.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, not nursing, like, to be like in a nursing home or anything, but like a labor and delivery nurse, like something with kids.
Okay. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. What about social media? Has that been at least helpful to keep everybody, you know, on track of everybody and, you know, yeah, at least reaching out?
Yeah, that does help. Like, if I see, like, for example, my friend, it was her birthday today. If I was in school, I probably would have ran up to her and hugged her, but like, at least I still got to wish her happy birthday and see all the graduation pictures that they posted, their pretend proms that they try to do. Like, it was good to see they at least got to do something.
What's your hope for the future?
I mean, I hope this ends as soon as possible, that there is a vaccine that is safe for everyone to take and everyone to feel comfortable and just to go back to normal, because I feel like it's so stupid to be walking around with a mask and like having to be like, I know it's for safety, but like admit it, it's stupid. Like, mm-hmm. You just want to be there freely, like, without like having to worry, oh my god, is this person sick? Oh my god, there's a lot of germs. Like, I feel it's so stupid. Like, I just want everything to be normal again.
Do you think that people will be ready to go back to that norm, or you think there's going to be a bit of apprehension even once the vaccine comes out for things to go back as business as usual?
I feel like there is going to be some people that are going to be like a little bit iffy about it, but I feel like once like a vaccine is out and everyone like starts taking it, I feel like slowly but surely, like, things will start like being normal again.
So let me transition. You are 17 now.
Yes, ma'am.
Just saying that makes me feel so old.
I mean, I'll be 18 in a couple weeks, though. I don't think that helped you very much.
Yes, no. I must say though that 17 and transitioning to 18, it's a very important age for obvious reasons. You get the right to mm-hmm. vote, and yeah. This is going to be your first election.
Yes, ma'am.
So tell me about that, the excitement. If you don't want to share who you're going to vote for, that's fine, but I just want to get your take.
I'll say it.
All right. What you feel right now?
I mean, I registered to vote in school with my history class. I filled out the paper that you needed and everything. I chose the Republican Party, if that makes you proud.
Yes, it does.
And then I'm guessing the little card comes in when I'm 18. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. Mm-hmm. And as of right now, the only person that has my vote is Mr. Trump.
Okay, all right. So keep America great, right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I have to ask you what you think of what's going on. I mean, city after city around the country is just going up in flames as people are protesting the death of Mr. Floyd. Give me your take. Your uncle is a police officer. Obviously, mm-hmm. this issue hits close to home for you.
Yeah.
Tell me what's going on in your mind right now.
Well, when I first heard about the George Floyd situation, I was devastated. I am the kind of, like, I don't like to judge. I don't consider myself a racist. I'll be friends with whoever. That, I don't care. Like, I'm Hispanic. I'm not what you consider the typical white girl. Like, I know what it's like for people to like kind of look at you differently because you're not like them. Mm-hmm. When I saw that cop just kneeling on that poor guy's neck, that completely broke my heart. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all it takes is just for one jerk to screw everything up for everyone, because not every cop that you'll see on the street is gonna be that one asshole. Right. It's not, he's not.
Right.
And like, I look at my uncle, that he's a cop also, and my little cousin's mom that I consider my aunt, she's a cop as well. It's like, they're not bad people. It's just in every group, whether it be white, black, whoever, there's always going to be assholes. That's just life. No, the protest, I mean, go ahead, protest. It's your right after all. Just when you start throwing bombs and looting places and having really unnecessary riots, I mean, in my opinion, I think that's when you cross the line. Like, there's no reason for you to be shoplifting at a Louis Vuitton or a Gucci just in the name of protesting. I think that's completely wrong.
How do you think the government should handle it? What should we do?
Really think there should be more security? I mean, I don't really think there's a lot that you can do, because at the end, the people that are rioting and protesting are gonna do whatever they want. So
right,
I don't think there's much that you can do.
Do you think that there's a tone that do we need to have a conversation about race? Is that what we should do? Or at this point, it's taken a turn so drastically that we need to start protecting the businesses, or do both? Have the conversation about race, but say, hey, this is not tolerated.
I mean, yeah, do both. I mean, there definitely is a conversation that needs to be held with these people. But at the same time, like, I could be with them, like, protesting against, like, police brutality or how Black lives do matter, but then you're gonna just go and rob, like, my parents' business or my grandma's business. Like, no, that's really wrong of you. Like, I'm here helping you raise your voice, but then you're turning your back on me, the one that's helping you. When they don't even know who's behind the lines of who's protesting or not. So I think the looting and the violence and the setting buildings on fire, it's like completely dumb and unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you saw the images of Miami last night, but it got bad. What are your friends saying? Like, what? How are you guys digesting these images?
My friends pretty much agree with me. They're like, I mean, I get it. The Black community is a minority, and they do need their voices to be heard, but the violence is so unnecessary, especially if it's against police officers, when there's some police officers that are there on their side.
Right, right.
So it's like, why are you... In my opinion, Hispanics get discriminated against, Asians get discriminated against, even white people get discriminated against. So why are you gonna prove to them what they judge you for? Try and prove them wrong. If they call a white person lazy, then don't be lazy.
Mm-hmm.
If they call a Hispanic, like, chumo, what they call Cubans, don't be like that. Prove them wrong so they see you differently. Why are you gonna do exactly what they judge you for?
Anything you want to say to the community as far as this issue goes? Is there a message you want to send out?
Everyone is behind, like, the peaceful protesters and everything, and I'm behind them too. What happened to that poor man and everyone else that's been a victim to that kind of discrimination and violence? I feel sorry for those people, but I don't have any sympathy for the ones that are using that excuse for a way to commit crimes and do so many things that are so unnecessary.
Well, on that note, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, my pleasure. And it was great listening to your perspective, because I think young people are the future, and you guys see the world through your prism, and it's important to get your opinion on these things, because COVID to these protests, these are the issues your generation is going to have to deal with. Our next guest is Henry. He's a junior in high school, a CrossFit athlete, Eagle Scout, lives in Asheville, North Carolina, but originally a California boy from the Los Angeles area. Henry, welcome to the show. Henry, you live in North Carolina, right?
Yes.
All right. So you're originally from California?
Mm-hmm. Los Angeles.
Oh, nice. How many years did you live there before you moved to North Carolina?
15. So we've been here for about 9 months now.
How do you like the change?
So much better, night and day. Yeah, less crowded. The people, the quality of life and the people are so much nicer here. I think the one thing I've noticed more than anything is I found a more quality group of friends.
Okay.
Than I did, like, my friends in California were pretty surface level and
more superficial.
Not the type of people I'd want to be around now.
Okay, that's good. I'm happy to hear that. That's good. I'm so happy you're on the show because I think it's very important to get young people's perspective because we're living in a very crazy world right now, and your generation is going to have to deal with this. So take me back to March. How was your life before the pandemic?
It was pretty hectic. School and working out, obviously. I'm competitive in CrossFit, so that took up most of my life. March, we started hearing at school about this upcoming virus, and we didn't know what was going on. It wasn't talked about much at school. It was just kind of a distant thing that we had heard about going on in China. And so I went on as normal, like the typical 8-to-3 school, and then working out in the mornings and afternoons. And then on March 20th, it all changed. We went into the auditorium. We were told that we would be taking at least a 10-day break from school till April 1st or 2nd, I think. And that obviously never happened. The break was 60 days plus into the end of the school year. And so we were kind of left with the unknown, like what was happening. We hadn't heard much. And so I started getting all my information from the news. Mm-hmm. And it was all pretty negative, and I guess it was kind of the same thing I was hearing at school. It was unknown. Everything just slowed down. Online school was actually pretty fun. I liked it.
What came through your mind when they walk you into that auditorium and they tell you, hey, this is what's going to happen? Were you scared, concerned, or you were like, oh, this will blow over soon?
Yeah, I was the third. I thought it was going to blow over. I thought this was kind of just a... Just to be safe, we'll give it 10 days to see what happens. But I was also kind of excited at first because school's out. As it progressed and we found out that, oh, it's not 10 days. It's now all of April. And then, oh yeah, May is done and there's no graduation for students. It felt like it was kind of defeating. Like, I love school and I like being around my friends. And the social aspect of having no one, that kind of scared me.
Have you been able to keep in contact with your friends?
Yeah, we all talk on a regular basis and we're all in video games together and stuff like that, so we've kept contact, but it's not the same.
Do you feel a bit isolated, or you're sufficiently have a good support group at home that you don't feel that way?
I have a good support group, but no matter how good that group is, it's still isolating because it's just my parents, and it's been that for the last 2 months, and I love them, but I want my space.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I can understand that. So you do CrossFit. So how have you been able to work out? How soon did they close the gyms?
Yeah, the day we got out of school was the day the gym closed. It'd be a 10-day break. I'm really fortunate to have a great group there who lended me all the equipment I needed. I have barbells. I'm set at home. I've just had a great group there. I was able to work out, like...
Have you become a germphobe, or are you just
I haven't worn a mask once, and I'm happy about that. I will not wear a mask. I've only been at home. There's no reason for me to, a certain level of germs are healthy is how I view it.
How's the vibe in your neighborhood? People going out, walking, or are they apprehensive? What's your take on it?
Everyone is walking and riding their bike, just finding ways to escape the boredom, I would say. And yeah, I've seen the same people walking their dogs 3 or 4 times a day.
All right, so that's the daily activity there.
Yeah, that's it.
And let me ask you, I mean, what do you think is going to happen? Are you hopeful that things are going to get better? You think we're going to go back to normal, or are we waiting on the vaccine? What's your thoughts?
Well, I think we're going to go back to normal because it has to go back to normal. Businesses can't afford this 3-month break, and life has to go on. I don't think people will stand for this anymore because we've realized that vaccines can take another year plus, and that vaccine is still so new. So I don't know if I'd even trust the vaccine just because the side effects are unknown. And I think people have started realizing that this isn't as big of a deal as people are making it out to be. Like, I know we've had the whole George Floyd incident, but I haven't heard any reporting on coronavirus over the last 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, the George Floyd situation has taken over the news cycle.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on that? How do you feel about what's going on?
This is a touchy subject. I feel like I think it's a terrible incident, and I think it was an isolated incident, and I don't wish that on anybody, but I don't think that the rioting is the way to solve it, because violence with violence will never be the answer, and the most successful protests have never used violence. It's always been peaceful, and I think this is being used as a way to forward an agenda that half the country doesn't want. Like, I don't think that the people rioting right now are the real Black Lives Matter and the actual passionate protesters. I think this is Antifa and the people using this as an excuse to create turmoil and harm. Yeah, that's my take on it.
Yeah, hijacked the cause.
Yes, exactly.
And any protests in North Carolina?
I don't think so, but a lot of people on social media are commenting about it, and it seems very uninformed and just rash.
Right.
Just, right. Yeah.
Oh, your generation is going to have to deal with these issues. I mean, is it more discourse? Are we supposed to have more conversations about it, but at the same time also make sure that looting and attacks against the police are not acceptable? What do you think is that balance that you have to strike?
Well, I feel like it's hard to have a conversation with some of these people today. People don't want to listen. I've had that happen to me before. Like, I was on FaceTime with one of my good friends who I love to death, but she cannot stand my opinion and won't listen to it. So anytime we talk about anything controversial, she'll just leave. And yeah, so I think that discourse, it needs to happen, but will it is the question. And I don't think some people are willing to have that conversation with people of the other side. And then I don't think looting and destroying businesses will never be the answer, because you're just creating more tension, and it's going to get worse and worse until eventually something major is going to happen to the point where there's no recovery from it.
And do you think that there needs to be a reform?
I don't know what police reform looks like. Like, I've heard that thrown around all over Instagram, but there's no plan, and I don't even know what people think police reform is. Yeah.
Nothing concrete.
Exactly, nothing. Like, how do you reform a system that's used all over the world and has worked for hundreds of years? Like, I don't know what that would look like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think someone put an Instagram thing out, or like a post saying that if there's one bad phone, you recall all of them. So if there's one bad police, you recall all police and you reform it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, there's human mistake in a sense, and there's also bad cops. And you can't view everyone as the same.
And you're originally from California. I'm sure you've seen the images coming out of California, what happened at the Grove over this weekend.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
Disappointed. I am happy that local government is actually stepping in. Since it's completely left, I wouldn't expect the level of force that they're using, just because of past experiences and history with the government there.
Sure.
But I'm actually happy that they're trying to put a stop to this and not letting it take over into Beverly Hills and onwards. But I'm also hearing things like people are calling it racist because they won't let the riots go into Beverly Hills, and that's the white part of LA, and that's they only care about the city when the rich and the white are affected, is what I'm hearing a lot.
Yeah, so it's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just jumping back to the coronavirus, has this changed your plans for the future as far as what colleges you're going to go to or anything?
Well, I think definitely the Northeast is off my list. I don't want to be associated with any of those states, just how they've handled this and that the level of outbreak they've had.
Sure.
Yeah, just being caught up in that, and if that were to happen again, like, what's it going to look like next time, you know? And am I going to be stuck in this place that I don't want to be stuck for God knows how long? That's the worry. And it's this coronavirus has really shown me that it does matter where I live, and that I'm in a red state,
mm-hmm.
because of how they've decided to handle this and reopening, and that it's been successful. And it sucks to say that I have to plan my life out and where I'm going to live and how I'm going to grow based on a political view. That's hard. It eliminates half the country. Yeah.
Do you feel like nowadays political differences can even put tension on friendships? And,
oh yeah, yeah. I've lost friendships before over it. People just won't listen to my opinion, and I'm really respectful with them, and I listen to their side, and then when it comes to me and I have an unpopular opinion, I'm shut down and my voice is canceled.
Well, I think you come from a long line of people that have had that experience.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I had it too. So,
yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. You would think that as we get, you know, more evolved as a society, we should be able to listen easier.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the total opposite, though.
And your parents, like, what do they say to you about the situation we're going through? Not just COVID, but also the social unrest.
I think they're mortified with what's going on. Like, they keep telling me, like, this is the world I'm growing up in, and things like that. Like, I think the one thing I've gathered is they're just shocked from how poorly everything has been handled in the last few months in every scenario. Obviously, they feel terrible for George Floyd and his family, and but they both have the same opinion I do over the situations on coronavirus and the protesting, that this is not the way we go about civil unrest, and this is not how we handle it in a real society. This seems borderline. This seems like anarchy. And the one thing I described it to the George Floyd incident was, it seems like the Purge. Like, if you watch the movie, it looks exactly like what's going on TV.
Oh, that is a good comparison.
Which is horrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's their view on the protesting. But on the coronavirus, they took it seriously in the beginning, but then they saw that there was a political agenda behind it, and it's not as serious as everyone's making it out to be. And so their mentalities just switched. Like, they started thinking of it. They took everything with a grain of salt at that point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I think they're like, well, life's going to go on. I'm going to live exactly how it was before March. And that's kind of the mentality we've had.
Any decision made in your school district as far as virtual learning next year?
Yeah, we've heard that I'm switching schools. I'm going to a public school next year. And there's talk of only allowing half the students to go in one day and then half the next day. So, like, flip-flopping days. I don't really understand why that would help. But that's the thought. Or we'll have virtual learning for at least a little while.
Okay. This would be your senior year, right?
Junior.
Junior year.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So hopefully things will clear up by your senior year.
I hope so, yeah. I'm sure they will.
Yes. So what do you want to study? What are your career goals?
I have no idea. It's
okay,
yeah,
that's
it
fair.
Scares me a little bit, but also I'm 16. I don't have to know what I want to do for the next 50 years, you know? I'm all still right. Trying to figure it out. It's definitely something with marketing or the business marketing side of something.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just something like that.
I could. All right. And maybe, would you want to do something in the athletic world?
Yes.
That you're already.
That's okay. What I was thinking.
Great.
I'll find something.
All
I know
right.
I will, but just a figuring out process.
Of course. And you're too young to have it all figured out. Come on.
Yeah.
And how do you think this is going to affect, like, athletic sports? And, you know, do you think that's going back to normal anytime soon?
I don't know what next season will look like for anybody in any sport. I know with CrossFit, they are still trying to put on the games, which is the Olympics for CrossFit, pretty much. Like, the best in the world will come out and compete over the weekend. They're still trying to put on a competition like that with no spectators. So it would just be them at a little family ranch. And so now it's at a family ranch. But I think it's the one sport that's going to try to keep moving forward with the season. And I don't know if the state of California will allow it. But as for other sports, I hope they get back next season. But I don't know. It would maybe no spectators, which would be awful for the athletes. But it's still, at least someone will have a sport to play. But the one thing I'm happy to take away from this COVID is, like, I've really thought about, man, the services I'm touching, I don't know what's been on here and things like that. So just taking the sanitary side of things a little more seriously after this.
Better hygiene.
Yes, exactly. Better hygiene. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. On that note, I really want to thank you for being on the show. Thank you for accepting the invitation. And if you ever want to vent about something, call me up and we'll have you on.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care and say hi to your parents.
I will.
Well, I want to thank the two young people on the show. Their opinion was very interesting, and we need new ideas. We need new hearts and new perspectives to come at this issue. The racial inequalities that exist in this country are a fact. We cannot deny them. But we cannot condone violence. The successful political movements in our era, the Gandhis of the world, the Martin Luther King Juniors of the world, achieved their political goals without violence. The only ones that have ever advanced violence are those that want a revolution, that want a change of government. Is that what these protesters want? Is that what the rioters are looking for? Because that's a totally different proposition than asking for justice for Mr. Floyd. So people, let's use common sense. Racism is bad, period. Police brutality is bad, period. But you do not have to burn your communities to achieve justice. So guys, we're going to have more on this. This week, it's probably we're going to have a few more episodes here at Right Owl Politics because this is an evolving situation. President Trump yesterday delivered a speech where he said that he was prepared to invoke the Insurrection Act, which means he will send the U.S. military into cities across America to try to disrupt these riots. So things are happening fast, but I wanted to bring to you the opinion of young people and see how they see the world because apparently us adults, we're not doing a good job talking to each other. We're just screaming at each other. So let's just take a breath. Let's take a moment and things have to improve. This country has already been through enough this year. So guys, thank you for tuning into this bonus episode of Right Owl Politics. We'll be back later this week with more material specifically on these issues of social unrest. And we'll be back with our regularly scheduled episode on Friday. So thanks guys for tuning in. If you're going to protest, please protest peacefully, be safe. And business owners out there, protect your businesses. We demand more from your local leaders. We cannot, and I repeat, we cannot let anarchy take over. We're better than that. Thank you and God bless.